from Las Vegas. You're listening to Verve Church for people who don't like church. Thanks for tuning in.
So I want you to think of a skill you have learned in life, a skill you've developed. Could you put in the comments, say hi in the comments and tell us a skill you've learned. Now, some of you are like, I got no skills.
Nunchuck skills, bow hunting skills, computer hacking skills. Girls only want boyfriends who have great skills.
No, you got skills. And the way you got that skill is you learned it, right? Maybe you learned how to play a video game. You stunk at first, but then you got good at it, right? Or you learned how to play guitar or hula hoop or do a dance for your school talent show. You learn skills. So like I remember teaching my kids to drive a car. At first, they were awful. We would brake. They'd go in reverse and turn the wrong way. They tried to merge into traffic. I thought we were going to die. They were awful. And now, they're pretty good. How? Was it a miracle? No. Was it prayer? No. I may have prayed, but it wasn't prayer. It was practice. They learned how to drive by practicing. That's how you learned how to type, use your phone, cook. Whatever skill you have, you learned it. You learned it by practicing. So today we're continuing our series, Chasing Happy. And we're going to talk about one of the most important things we can learn in our pursuit of happiness. And just like with everything else, you can learn to do this through practicing. In our series, we've been studying the Bible book of Philippians. This book is written by Paul. No, not that Paul. That's Paul Rudd. No, that's Paul McCartney. Nope, that's Paul George. Different Paul, the Apostle Paul, who had been tortured, is in prison, and expects to be executed. And the theme of Philippians is joy. Paul writes about the joy he has and the joy he wants us to have. And so we're going to go back and check out a few verses we studied from chapter 2, and then we're going to look at a few verses at the end of the book, okay? And so we'll start in Philippians 2, verses 14 through 16. It says, do everything without complaining, and arguing, so that no one can criticize you. Live clean, innocent lives as children of God, shining like bright lights in a world full of crooked and perverse people. Hold firmly to the word of life then, on the day of Christ's return, so that on the day of Christ's return, I'll be proud that I did not run the race in vain and that my work was not useless. Wow. Can you imagine what your life would be like? Can you imagine how the light of God would shine in your life if you did everything without arguing or complaining? It's hard to imagine because we tend to complain a lot. How about this? Maybe in the comments, tell us, what do you find yourself complaining about the most? What's something it's hard not to complain about in your life? I don't know what it is for you. You might complain about how you feel in the morning, or what the scale says in the morning, what you have or don't have for breakfast, the car you have to drive to work, or not having a car to drive to work, your job, your boss, your teacher, the people you have to deal with all day, when you're texting someone, and in return you just get those stupid bubbles, and it's just it's still the bubbles. When your cell phone coverage is spotty for a few seconds, traffic on the way home from work, what you have or don't have for dinner, you can't find the remote control. Some of us complain all the time. And this verse says, do everything without complaining. Really? Everything? Why do we complain? I think complaining is a reflection of a spirit of ingratitude. Complaining is fueled by ingratitude. When we're not grateful for what we have, we complain, right? We complain about what we have, and we complain about what we don't have. And man, social media makes it worse, right? We scroll through our Facebook or Instagram feed and see everyone else's highlight reels, how they've lost 20 pounds in 3 days, and their stunning vacation photos, and the amazing Pinterest-inspired preschool snacks they've made for their kids, and their CrossFit workouts, and eating vegetables from the garden they planted on the farmhouse table they built themselves. Don't you hate your friends? Woo! It's really easy to not be grateful and to complain. And you may think, yeah, is it that big a deal? I mean, everyone complains. It's not a big deal. Actually, yes, it is. Why? Well, for one, it's a sin. Like, God takes this seriously. God commands us not to complain. For two, I think we could say that complaining is blasphemous. When we complain, what we're really saying is, man, I don't believe God has taken care of me. I don't believe that He'll keep His promises. Complaining is a refusal to trust God and acknowledge His grace in my life. And for three, complaining keeps us from happiness, which is part of the reason God commands us not to and considers it a sin. God doesn't like arbitrarily pick random things He doesn't want us to do. No, He tells us not to do certain things, specific things, because they're self-destructive, because they're poisonous. You can't complain and be happy. And so if we're going to be happy, we have to stop complaining. God commands us not to complain about anything. Instead, He says to be content in everything. And so remember, there's two passages in Philippians. Let's look at this second passage in Philippians. It says this: I have learned to be content whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in strength or in want. I can do all this through Him who gives me strength. Okay, so remember, Paul is in prison just for being a Christian. He's been beaten and tortured just for being a Christian. He is going to be executed just for being a Christian. And he's talking about being content whatever the circumstances. What's interesting is that we think contentment is totally about circumstances, right? Like, if my circumstances were good, then I'd be content. And Paul says, no, my circumstances are bad, and I'm content. I've discovered that being content has nothing to do with circumstances. And you might think, well, this, I don't know, maybe this guy's like superhuman. That's just Paul. No, that's just everyone. It's actually been proven over and over. It's been proven that circumstances have nothing to do with happiness. In fact, it's often people who have the least or have it the worst who are the most grateful, have the most contentment, and are truly happy. There's a dude named Sean Archer. He's a leading happiness researcher from Harvard University. At one point, he had been studying and teaching on happiness at Harvard, and he was invited to present some of his findings in Soweto, South Africa, where a lot of the people, most of the people, live in desperate poverty, no electricity, no running water. It's just really bad. So he gets there, and one of the things he had to do while he was there was go to a school and talk to students, and he realized, man, these students would not understand the world he came from. And so he wondered, how could he bond with them? And he decided, I know, I'll use something universal, the dislike all students have of homework. And so he started out with these kids by asking very sarcastically, so how many of you like to do schoolwork? But immediately, at least 95% of them raised their hands excitedly. They just beamed. Isn't it cool that we get to go to school and do homework? And he realized that what Harvard students, what all American students view as a burden, these students thought of as a blessing, as a gift. I get to learn. I get to read. I get to write papers. Sean Archer studies happiness, and he'll tell you it has nothing to do with circumstances. There are so many studies that tell us the same thing. In fact, studies show people with less education, less money, less square feet in their house tend to have more contentment. Let's look at this passage again, just real quick. So again, Paul writes, I have learned to be content, whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want, I can do all this through him who gives me strength. Paul says twice, I have learned to be content. And that brings us back to how we started today, right? I said, you've learned some things, right? You've learned some skills. You've learned how to ride a skateboard or do needlepoint or do needlepoint while riding a skateboard. And if so, I need pics. You couldn't do it, but now you can do it. How? You learned, right? How do you learn? Practice, right? That's how you learn anything. You practice. So how can you be happy? How can you be content? By practicing gratitude. By practicing gratitude. Even if you're not a happy person right now, even if you're not content, you could become happy, become content. How? You learn. How do you learn? You practice. You practice gratitude. So there was a research project where they separated participants into two groups. One was asked to keep a daily irritation journal of things that annoyed them. The other group was told to keep a Thanksgiving journal of things they were grateful for. The researchers found that those who kept the Thanksgiving journal had greater overall energy and enthusiasm, slept better at night, and were less depressed. You might be like, well, that kind of figures. Here's what's really interesting, I think. These two groups were told, hey, every day, write down whatever irritates you. You write down whatever you're grateful for, but don't look for things. Okay? Don't look for things that irritate you. Don't look for things that you're grateful for. But if you just happen, if one occurs to you, if you notice something, just write it down. But they did look for things. They couldn't help it. The irritation journal group looked for things that annoyed them so they could write them down, and they kept finding more and more and more. And the Thanksgiving journal group looked for things they were grateful for and kept finding more and more and more. Do you know what they were doing? They were practicing gratitude, right? Literally, they were practicing gratitude, and they got better and better and better at it. So back in the Old Testament of the Bible, the part of the Bible before Jesus came, you see the people of God occasionally creating stone altars. So it might look kind of like this. They did that. They created that to remember something that God had done for them. So every time they saw it, they'd be like, oh, yeah. Maybe the family would be walking past, and one of the kids would say, hey, Dad, what's the stack of stones mean? And it would be an opportunity to tell the story of God's goodness, to practice gratitude. So, kind of an assignment. I'm not suggesting that you build a stone altar, but I would like to suggest that you start practicing gratitude so that you can be happy. You could do this in all kinds of ways, right? You could, maybe you could start a gratitude scrapbook, or you could Instagram something you're thankful for every day, just one thing a day. Or you could create a file of pictures on your phone of things you're grateful for, and you just kind of scroll through them each day and just add to it. Or you could have a wall in your house, you put up some butcher paper or something, and you have your kids write down each day something they're thankful for. You write down. Or you could keep a Thanksgiving journal like the people in that group were assigned. I mean, think about it. That group of people said having to do that, being forced to do that because of this experiment they were a part of, changed their lives. Why don't you do it? And I'll tell you, I've started doing this in the last few weeks. And so I'm not telling you something to do that I'm not doing myself. What I'm doing, what you could do is just start writing down every day. You don't have to spend lots of time. Just as things occur to you, write down things that you're thankful for. You know? God, thank you for my family, for my friends, for a new day, for the sun being out. It's a beautiful day. For sunscreen. God, thank you for this new song I love. I can dance to it. God, thank you for being a safe place for me to run and hide when life is tough, because it's tough right now. Thank you for laughter. Thank you for stand-up comedian specials on Netflix. God, thank you that I was born into such a dysfunctional family. They did their best, and I learned a lot of lessons. Maybe I learned the hard way, but it made me grow. God, thanks for my extended family. Thanks, God, for flaming hot Mountain Dew. Due to a binding endorsement that stipulates I mention Mountain Dew in my Thanksgiving journal, I just want to say that flaming hot Mountain Dew is delicious. It's where sweet meets spicy. God, thanks for my Verve group. Thanks for giving me people who care about me. Thanks for my job. Thanks for giving me a place to volunteer. I get to make a difference with my life. I am so grateful. God, thank you for my church, for the Bible. God, thanks that I get to know you. I get to know that you love me. I get to love you. Thank you. Thank you for the peace you've given me, for the power you've given me. Thank you for Jesus. He died for me. Thank you for your Holy Spirit who lives in me, God. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. It actually makes me think of another verse in the Bible. This is a big one for me. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 16 through 18 says, always be joyful. Never stop praying. Be thankful in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you who belong to Christ Jesus. Isn't that fascinating? You know, people say, I bet you've heard this, maybe you've said this, they say, I just want to know God's will for my life. I just want to know God's will for my life. Well, there it is. You got it. Always be joyful. Never stop praying. Be thankful in all circumstances. It says that's God's will for your life. Always be joyful. Never stop praying. Be thankful in all circumstances. Bam. That's God's will for your life. And it says to be thankful in all circumstances. We talked about circumstances. Circumstances comes from the same root word as circumference. Do you remember circumference from math class? It's the distance. I'm back. It's the distance around something, right? And the idea of circumstances is that you can kind of draw a circle around you, and everything that happens in that circle, everything that's happening in your life, those are your circumstances. And God tells us to give thanks in all our circumstances. Notice, not for all our circumstances. We're not asked to be thankful for the bad things that happen. Not for, but in all circumstances. We're to be grateful to God no matter what's happening in our lives. I love what Pastor Henry Nouwen writes. Check this out. He says, to be grateful for the good things that happen in our lives is easy. But to be grateful for all of our lives, the good as well as the bad, the moments of joy as well as the moments of sorrow, the successes as well as the failures, the rewards as well as the rejections, that requires hard spiritual work. Still, we are only grateful people when we can say thank you to all that has brought us to the present moment. As long as we keep dividing our lives between events and people we would like to forget, we cannot claim the fullness of our beings as a gift from God to be grateful for. Let's not be afraid to look at everything that has brought us to where we are now and trust that we will soon see in the guiding hand, the guiding hand of a loving God. Do you want to be happy? Yeah, we all want to be happy. The good news is you can. In this series, we've been learning how to be happy, and you can be happy by learning to be content. How do you learn to be content? The same way you learn to do anything. You practice. You practice gratitude. Now, you might think, man, I just don't know that I'm capable of that. I get it. I don't think I can do it. I've just never been like that. I do complain. I'm not grateful. So, I mean, I hear you. I just don't think I can. I think I can't. Yes, you can. Maybe you can't, but you can through Jesus. That's what Paul said, right? He had horrible circumstances, but he says, I can be content even in this. How? He said, I can do all this through him who gives me strength. You know, that verse is quoted a lot. You'll see athletes use it. I can slam a basketball through him who gives me strength. I can hit a home run through him who gives me strength. And that may be true, but that's not what this verse is really about. This verse is about living a life of contentment, which you can do, not through your own strength, but through Jesus who gives you strength. Contentment flows out of my relationship with Jesus. It flows out of the life of Jesus and into my life. You know, in churches, in the Bible, talking about the good news. The Bible, it talks about the good news. The good news is that Jesus died for you so you can have eternal life. But it's more than that. It's that Jesus lived a human life so you could live a better life. And Jesus rose from death to give you the power to actually live that life. If you put your faith in Jesus, if you live your life connected to him, he will give you his strength, and you can do all this through his strength. We're gonna pray, and then we're gonna sing a song to him, and then we've got some it's a couple quick closing announcements for you, some stuff going on we want you to know about. And so let's pray, and then we'll sing. God, we want to be happy, and it turns out happiness is a skill that can be learned because we can practice gratitude. Gratitude leads to contentment. Contentment leads to happiness. God, would you help us choose today not just to agree with this or that's interesting or I didn't know there was that kind of researcher or okay, now I know what the Bible says. No. Would you help us to take up the challenge to actually practice gratitude, to choose one of those assignments, to start a Thanksgiving journal or a Thanksgiving Instagram post a day or whatever it is we decide to do, but to help us to start practicing gratitude on a daily basis so we can learn contentment, so we can be happy in you. And if that's too much for us, that's okay, because we can do all this through him who gives us strength. We pray in his name. Amen.